Fagan Family Newsletter, Hash 11. The Elio Frank Circus continues. The ADL is the modern-day epitome of the phrase, if you hang them in a hopper, they will drip lies. Leo Frank has been the subject of their insidious century-long propaganda campaign to convict a black man for a child rape and murder that a Jewish man, Leo Frank, committed in 1913. To them, the symbol of Leo Frank as an innocent victim of terrorism is fundraising gold. But the ugly crime he committed is catching up to them as scholars begin to see just how the facts of the case were twisted and distorted by the ADL to promote a totally false and extremely racist Jewish mythology. One need only look at the ADL website to see the open lies stacked up ready to be distributed Steve as history. They claim that Frank was posthumously exonerated by the state of Georgia in 1986, a bold-faced lie. Frank was found guilty of murder in 1913 by a Fulton County court and sentenced to death by hanging. That legal conviction still stands today. Here is another ADL lie. Hang the Jew, hang the Jew is what the ADL says was chanted during the month-long trial. But the ADL's own expert Steve Oney says it never occurred. He told the Jewish Journal, it didn't happen. It was something that someone wrote a couple of years after the crime, and then it got stuck into subsequent recountings of the story. Jews were accepted in the city, and the record does not substantiate subsequent reports that the crowd outside the courtroom shouted at the jurors, hang the Jew, or we'll hang you. Further, according to Oney, at the time of Mary Fagan's murder, Atlanta was a Philo-Semitic city. Its assimilated German-Jewish elite were part of the financial and legal power structure. The governor at the time, John Slayton, was a supporter of Frank's. But when asked about the claim of an anti-Semitic mob surrounding the courtroom pressing to lynch Frank, he wrote, no such attack was made, and none when he was contemplated. Most people are unaware that Frank was indicted by a 23-member grand jury that included 5 prominent members of the Jewish community. The false claims of anti-Semitism are simply unfounded and untrue. To the contrary, the ADL admits, Frank's own racism created an atmosphere of extreme anti-black bigotry. Historians, almost all of whom are Jewish, deliberately misrepresent historical sources and simply fabricate data and parrot biased authors without fact-checking. Leo Frank raped and murdered 13-year-old Mary Fagan, but he and his supporters desperately want a black man to pay the price. We, the family of Mary Fagan, will not let that happen. Why the secrecy about a 111-year-old case? The Fagan family calls on District Attorney Fani Willis to stop the secrecy. There appears to be a concerted, organized, and well-funded effort to conceal critical information about this 111-year-old murder case. Here are some strange things about the case. No longer available. Original articles from the 3 major dailies covering the day-by-day progress of the case removed from archive.org.youtube has pulled videos that challenge the false idea that Frank was wrongly convicted. Official case documents like the brief of evidence, the appeals filings, and the published trial records have been scrubbed from the internet. Books that prove Leo Frank's guilt and provide a serious case analysis have been banned and censored. My 1987 book titled The Murder of Little Mary Fagan has been removed from some websites where it was previously available for years. The Nation of Islam's recent book, Leo Frank, The Lynching of a Guilty Man, has been mysteriously banned from sale on Amazon.com, .Google searches, exclude articles and documents that show evidence of Frank's guilt. When we made an open records request to the University of Georgia, they first said 70 records matched the request. When we paid to have them mailed to us, all of a sudden all 70 records vanished with no explanation. When the Fagan family tried to obtain Leo Frank case records from the Georgia Pardon and Paroles Board, they refused, claiming they are designated as a confidential state secret. Why the secrecy? Who is removing these important documents from the internet, and why? How can Georgia officials insist that records from a 111-year-old legal case are still a state secret? What are they hiding? And most important, what are District Attorney Fani Willis and the Fulton County District Attorney's Office going to do about it? Another rabbi spreads Frank falsehoods. Rabbi Avi Shafran, the Director of Public Affairs for Agadoth Israel of America, an organization of Orthodox Jews, recently published an article titled Mob Murder in Marietta. A revelation emerges, 70 years late. Displaying a disdain for the realities of the case, Rabbi Shafran promotes the most absurd and long-disproved falsehoods, so many that we need a chart to correct them. Rabbi Avi Shafran's lies. He was the last person to see her, and so when the murder was discovered the next morning, he came under suspicion and was arrested and jailed. Police, however, had another suspect. Jim Conley, a custodian at the factory, whom a witness saw in the factory basement washing out a shirt soaked with what appeared to be blood. Notes, filled with misspellings, were found alongside the murdered girl, and Jim Conley was questioned. Conley signed contradictory affidavits, which were entered into the trial of Leo Frank. But the glaring inconsistencies were ignored by the jury. As the trial took place, crowds gathered outside the courthouse chanting, "Hang the Jew." Conley's former attorney said he believed his former client was the actual murderer. There was no real evidence to implicate Frank. The truth? Frank was arrested after he hired questionable private detectives to plant a bloody shirt in the home of his black employee named Newt Lee in a botched attempt to pin the crime on him. The police were not fooled by the ruse, and that is when suspicion fell on Leo Frank. The witness worked for Frank. It was not blood, it was rust. And it was 4 days after the murder. The bizarre notion that a black man in Jim Crow, Georgia would bring a four-day-old bloody shirt back to the scene of a murder does not strike Shaffrin as ridiculous. Frank had failed to plant a bloody shirt at Newt Lee's house, so they tried the same tactic to frame Conley. A forensic handwriting expert determined that the text of the two notes was strangely formed with deliberate misspellings in order to appear as if it were written by an illiterate person. This, again, pointed police toward Frank as the writer of the murder notes. Conley, a sweeper at the factory, was ordered by Frank to help him move the body of the young girl he, Frank, had just killed, Mary Fagan. Frank swore Conley to secrecy and promised him money. This Hang the Jew myth was debunked and remains the biggest lie ever told about the case. In fact, anti-Semitism was virtually absent from the case. Leo Frank was asked about it by the legendary Jewish journalist Abraham Cahan, and Frank responded, "Anti-Semitism is absolutely not the reason for this libel that has been framed against me. It isn't the source nor the result of this sad story. The attorney William Smith was a hired mercenary of the Atlanta Georgian, the pro-Frank Hearst newspaper. It paid Smith to represent the destitute black man, being motivated by no other reason than to secure inside exclusives. When the newspaper realized that a large chunk of its advertising came from Jewish businesses of Atlanta, Smith turned on his black client but offered not a single shred of evidence against Conley. Ridiculous. Both of Frank's hired investigative agencies, Burns and Pinkertons, concluded that Frank was guilty, and publicly stated so. Sources: 3 Atlanta Daily Newspapers of 1913-1915, Mary Fagan Keene's book, The Murder of Little Mary Fagan, The Nation of Islam's The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Voler 3, littlemaryfagan.com, .frankfallacy, Play Wins Tony on Broadway Parade, the propaganda production about the murder of Mary Fagan, has just proven that truth is not necessary to win Broadway's highest honor. A society's founding fables must be constantly reinforced if its citizens are going to react according to the wishes of its rulers. Parade is a Jewish fairy tale no more truthful than the story of Santa Claus or Washington's cherry tree. It is written for Jews by Alfred Uhry, the same Jewish man who wrote that despicable slavery nostalgia movie, Driving Miss Daisy, with Morgan Freeman playing the black driver and Jessica Tandy playing Miss Daisy, his Jewish boss. Parade demonstrates just how far they will go to rewrite history that makes blacks the villains. Leo Frank pointed his crooked finger at two innocent black men, which almost led to their lynching. He also accused a white Gentile man of the crime, and Frank's team of thugs tried to hire a black woman to poison the main black witness. The New York Times even covered it. The lengths they went to free Leo Frank were beyond belief. None of Frank's multiple criminal acts make it into Uri's Parade fairy tale. What did Jewish leaders really think of Leo Frank? By the time of Leo Frank's lynching on August 27, 1915, many people, including his Jewish supporters, came to believe Leo Frank was better dead than alive. Frank had such an offensive personality that his main Jewish supporter said that when he first met Frank, he impressed him as a sexual pervert. The man was Albert Lasker, and he paid millions, in today's money, for Frank's defense, but he privately admitted that he was not even convinced that Frank was innocent. According to Lasker's biographer, the men with him during that encounter took a violent dislike to him, Frank. Lasker hated him and said, "I hope he Frank gets out, and when he gets out, I hope he slips on a banana peel and breaks his neck." Frank's repulsive personality just did not jibe with the angelic international image Frank's public relations team had created for him, that of a humble, innocent, and suffering Jesus figure. That whitewashed image of the man conflicted with the actual character of the man, and so, by the time of his lynching, many believed Frank actually was doing damage to the image of Jews as perennial victims of hate and religious persecution. A measure of how negatively Frank was perceived by his own friends and family might be gleaned from his gravesite in New York. It is a remarkably tiny and nondescript headstone for someone who is a con. Could really Mary this be a sign thought of the Fagin? Considered a legendary Jewish martyr and godfather of the ADL, Frank was a president of the Atlanta chapter of B'nai B'rith, and arguably the most important Jew in the South. One would think that someone who had reached his level of significance would be honored by a grave as magisterial as those surrounding his. Instead, it is unkempt with weeds growing all around it. Of how the Jewish community man who raped and murdered little Mary Fagin